Folks, we are 1 week out from the election, November 5th, and if you want to early vote in the state of Louisiana, today is the last day, and I think the polls close at 6 p.m. in early voting, so be mindful of that and take advantage of it. We are joined by Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Happy to be here.
Ron, there is rhetoric flying in all different directions. I mean, it is crazy. And I was just surprised to learn the other day that democracy is the casualty of the Washington Post not rendering an endorsement. I just did not realize the ultimate importance of that happenstance. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not sure it's just rhetoric flying around. I think there's some other things, too, that really don't smell that good. But so I think we're getting an awful lot of that. You know, this election has degenerated pretty quickly. And there's extremely sensitive emotional feelings on both sides. And institutions are being challenged for bias, and so we're getting a lot of that, and it's probably going to just keep getting progressively worse every day between now and next Tuesday. So we might as well, you know, strap on our seatbelts and get ready for it. But you know, the Washington Post situation is interesting because it, you know. We have a number of media organizations around the country that that have been, I think, you know, unusually biased in this election, and in some cases surprisingly so. So it's, you know, it's no surprise that they would have this kind of a battle, and we'll see what happens. Apparently, 200,000 subscribers have already taken their name off the subscription list. I don't know how that plays out in the end, but the whole thing is a mess, and the level of opposition and hatred for each side is growing in great proportions. And if we knew when it was over with, things would settle down some, and some of these divisions would heal. You know, we could take some solace in that, but we don't know if that's going to happen, and we don't know if the election continues for weeks after next Tuesday because of recounts and lawsuits and everything else. And so I'm going to shut up here because the more I talk, the more it's going to feel bad.
I think what it exemplifies, though, at the very least, and you and I have talked about this, and that's confirmation bias, right? And when you tell me that there are 200,000 subscribers that have fallen out, that's because, obviously, the Washington Post has endorsed every Democrat since 1976 when they started endorsing again, with the exception of Michael Dukakis. They could not bring themselves, as bad a candidate as Michael Dukakis was, to endorse a Republican.
Right.
And, you know, so when you look at things like that, I mean, it's just that's a 200,000. But in order to rebuild oneself as it relates to credibility, and as Jeff Bezos pointed out, that they're now polling below Congress persons who poll.
Right.
And you and I have talked about that as well, too. That's not a good place to be in when you're trying to sell subscriptions, you know. And I think the Post lost, what, $111 million or something last year, or some crazy number. I mean, it's nuts, you know, and we're seeing more and more of it. And I don't know about you, but I never really, you've been, you know, candidate, I've been candidate. I went through the process because that was the process, but I didn't, you know, stay up nights worried about whether or not I was going to get the paper's endorsement or any other publication's endorsement. I was going to do what I needed to do to get elected in spite of that.
Sure. Well, you know, I think what we're seeing here is not only does each side expect everybody to be on their side because it's the good, right thing to do. They expect everybody to be, you know, vigorously on their side, and just saying, well, I'm for this candidate or that candidate, isn't enough anymore. You know, you have to hate the other side. You have to stomp your feet against the other side. And I'm sure people listening to this will say, yeah, because the other side is so bad. And the other side is so dangerous. And the other side's going to be terrible for the country. And but that's the way people feel. And in many cases, their feelings are accurate. But we still have to have a country to hear when it's all said and done. And that's what we need to be most concerned about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As long as you continue to report accurately and fairly, no one, I think, would think anything about this. But it's all very suspect for a whole host of reasons, as you just pointed out. Let's pivot to polls real quick. There seems to be some momentum building, but that momentum is in tenths of a point and doesn't really take anybody outside of the margin of error of any of these polls, does it?
That's right. But, you know, when you look at the national numbers, over the last week, well, let's call it 7, 8, 9 days, Trump improved his position slightly. And I think it was more to do with Kamala Harris weakening than Trump necessarily strengthening. And I think that ended up improving Trump's position. But it's very slight. But then, you know, when you look at these swing states, there's 7 swing states. I put out a newsletter that averages all of the polls and looks at where the polls are in the swing states. And basically, when it's all said and done, it's, like you said, it's virtually a tie. Now, you know, the last average that I put out yesterday had Harris ahead in one state, Michigan, and Trump ahead in, let's see, it must have been 4 states, and we had 2 states tied. So all it takes, because, you know, when you think about it, you know, these poll averages are in states are based on very few polls. A lot of the poll averages were based on only 3 polls, and in some cases, I really wanted to do it just in the last 2, but I didn't feel like that was enough. And the point I'm making here is that if just one poll shows something a little different than the other ones, it'll radically change the average. So when an election is this close, polling has trouble really getting at the precise differences. And we should never look at polls, and of course everybody wants to do this, but we should never look at polls as crystal balls. They don't predict elections. They just tell you where the election is at the time the poll was taken. And when an election is very, very close like this, that's important to keep in mind, because any little thing at the end, and I could give you a list of 100 things that could change this race, and that they wouldn't have been reflected in the polls. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is this is not one presidential election. We're watching 7 presidential elections in these 7 swing states. So it's not just like, you know, you watch a governor's race or the national popular vote, the presidential race, where somebody's a point ahead, or 2 points ahead, or half a point ahead. In this particular case, you got to go through that 7 times. And it doesn't take much to flip a state when somebody has a 3/10 of a point average lead. And that's what we're seeing in some of these states. So, you know, when you cut through all of it, what it means is this is a really close election. It for some time now, it's really beyond the precision of what most polling can get you, because you've got margins of error of 2, 3, 4 points in most of these polls. And when you're dealing in a race that's where one candidate's a half a point ahead, it's all within the margin of error, and it's virtually impossible for a poll to get down that precise. So we really don't know where this ultimately goes. I know people who support Trump think he had great momentum recently, and he did have he did improve a little bit, but I wouldn't call it great momentum by any stretch. And the people who are supporting Harris, they think she's going to win, and she may very well win, because both of them are in a position where they could win.
You point out in your most recent publication that turnout is critical. You say that turnout is not just a function of identifying and pushing voters to the polls. It's also a function of intensity of enthusiasm that supporters feel for each candidate. I know that the Democrats had embraced the abortion issue early on, and they continue to push that. Michelle Obama the other day spoke and really tried to cajole males into making sure that they fall in line with what she presumed the females were doing, you know, voting for Kamala Harris. Do you think that that abortion issue is still the ticket home for them?
Well, I don't know if it's the ticket home, but it's the best issue they have. And, you know, it was interesting, but 4 or 5 months ago, a lot of Democrats were criticizing Biden's campaign for talking about only democracy and abortion. And when Harris got the nomination, she was talking about abortion, of course, as all Democratic candidates are. But she wasn't talking so much about democracy. She was talking about other things. Well, now it looks like they're ending up the way Biden started the race many months ago, talking about democracy and abortion. And I know some Democrats are jittery about that because they're not sure they should be ending the campaign on just negative against Trump. They should be ending the campaign by solidifying and boosting their candidates' positives. So that's the fight right now going on within Democratic Party power circles about what should or shouldn't be done. Now, when you've got all these super PACs spending hundreds of millions of dollars, different factions of a party can end the campaign any way they want. It doesn't have to be just what the candidate wants. Because if they want to end talking about abortion, or they want to end talking about taxes or the economy or inflation, they could do it. You know, it's their money, and the campaign can't control it. So there's so many moving parts in this election and in all presidential elections now. Unless you've got a race where somebody has a clear lead and they're holding it and it's somewhat stable over time, everything is a jump ball.
Ron, Democrats have typically outperformed Republicans in get out the vote effort and having that machine necessary to do so. Republicans last time did not really push early voting. It seems as though it became, a mantra of the Republican Party this time. I know that you probably have been following these early voting numbers that have been reported. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I think Donald Trump made a big mistake in 2020, and then they continued that forward in 2022 in the midterm elections by urging Republicans not to vote early. They were convincing people that all those votes are going to be stolen, and don't vote early and wait until election day to vote. And it was a big, big tactical mistake because when the other side is spending a lot of money and a lot of effort to get people to vote, logically, you can just see how it expands their ability to get a turnout. I mean, if you just have one election day where you vote versus the opposition where they have 2 or 3 weeks of election days, you can see how they're in a position to get more people out to vote. They have more opportunity. And I think the Republican Party and Trump's campaign this time realized that that was not making any sense. And so they decided that that they were going to support early voting and urge people to vote early, even though they might not like the policy of supporting, of actually having early voting. If you have it, you might as well use it for your side. And I think that was a wise move on the part of Trump's campaign, and I do think that it will help it.
I'm kind of divorced from the process, so I haven't seen the get out the vote mechanism or machine that they have in place. Are you hearing anything about that?
Well, I mean, one thing that is happening now is that, again, with these super PACs and political party organizations that are raising hundreds of millions of dollars, many of them are taking over the task of doing get out the vote. So some of it's done by the candidate campaigns. Some of it's being done by some of these super PACs. Supposedly, I haven't seen evidence of this, but, you know, we're not seeing a get-out-the-vote effort here in Louisiana. That's only happening in the seven swing states for the most part. But that the money that Elon Musk was putting into the Republican campaign, apparently most of that is being used for get-out-the-vote efforts. Now, what that means and what he's doing, is it just an online effort? Are they doing direct mail and telephones, having people knock on doors? It's hard to say. But, generally speaking, the Democrats use all of those techniques. And they use door knocking and phone calls and that type of thing. We really don't know what the Republicans are doing, but the Republicans do have one thing going on their side, and that is the strong Trump supporters are very, very strong in their feelings, and they're going to go vote no matter what. So that's why I say it's not just a matter of how much money you spend, tactically and mechanically trying to move people out and get them to vote, but it's also the enthusiasm for that the supporters have for their candidates. Because without enthusiasm for the candidates, it's very hard to get people out to vote, even if you send them mail pieces and call them and knock on their doors. So you really need both to get it done.
A number of states have gone through a process of election process reform. And obviously, Chicken Little came out and the sky was falling and nobody was going to vote anymore. It was going to be so difficult. Those very same states are having record turnout in early voting numbers. Kind of curious, right?
Well, I think that's part of it, that more Republicans are now voting early because Donald Trump and the Republican Party are in effect saying, go ahead and do it, as opposed to 4 years ago when they said, don't do it. And so I think that's really affecting the numbers. So we don't really know to what extent where the turnout will end up. It seems to me that it will be at least as high as it was 4 years ago. And 4 years ago broke all records. So so I suspect you're going to see a very high turnout. And you're going to probably see more Republicans voting early than voting on election day than you did 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting, as you pointed out, in Louisiana, we're not seeing a lot of this because most people believe it's a far-gone conclusion that Trump's probably going to end up with somewhere north of 62-63% of the vote here in the state, right?
Well, in the last presidential elections, the average presidential vote for the Republicans was 58%. And that's roughly what Trump got both times he ran. And it's roughly the same thing Mitt Romney and John McCain got when they ran in Louisiana. So Trump really hasn't done better in Louisiana than McCain or Romney did. It's just that the Republican candidates have a roughly 58% of the vote in Louisiana in presidential campaigns. And it's possible that Trump will get that again. If he falls short of that, it could be an indication that there's some weakening there that might be apparent in other states as well. But But I think most people would agree that, that Trump will easily carry Louisiana with a lot of votes to spare.
7 days and counting once early voting stops in a lot of these states. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens then, because I know that they, in some states, they start counting these ballots beforehand, and we're starting to see legal challenges to all kinds of different things across the country. And I'm sure that this will probably go until December, unfortunately, in some way, shape, or form. Depending on how close this thing truly is. But we will be checking in with you, Ron Fauché, before the election day. So stay available.
I'll be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. We really appreciate you. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. You can just Google that, folks, and you can get a hold of it. Some great commentary there. Always taking the average of all the polls. Really like the approach. Check it out. And you can also catch him on Twitter and other areas as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us.